KBLU 92.3 FM Logan, Aggie Radio, online at aggieradio.com, on Twitter at Aggie Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to the Aggie Morning Word podcast here on KBLU 92.3. I'm Catherine St. Clair.
Hey guys, I'm Morgan.
I'm Brad Robinson.
And I'm Josh Corey.
So this morning, it's a bit warmer than normal. It's for like the last month or so. It's 46.
Nice.
The low, that's Friday's weather. I don't know how it got put back to where it was. But the low was supposed to be 49, even though it's 46 presently. And it's supposed to get up to 85 today.
Woohoo! Yes!
So a perfect day.
That's like a totally perfect day.
I would love that.
Speak for yourself, Southerner. but that being said, the air quality is good as well. Though that doesn't...
It looks smoggy. It looks...
Yeah,
you never know. That might be water particles, guys.
The smog.
Yeah.
Smog, spelt with an AU. Maybe there's a dragon. Maybe that's why we see all this bad air.
You mean the dragon, as in like the cows who fart and release methane? That's the dragon.
No.
What?
No.
Because like one of the reasons our air quality sucks so bad is because all of the cows and their methane. So it's part of our car issue, but. It's primarily the cows
it's
in
primarily
the geography. I know, I'm being serious.
It's actually a conspiracy, cows. Or should I say cowspiracy?
Yeah, it's also like...
Cats over here like, wait.
Yeah, I had a guest lecture from our city planner who showed a bunch of data regarding this and said that it's actually the combination of those two things mm-hmm. that's really deadly.
Yeah.
Like, when you get car smog and methane... They mix in the air to create what's called PM2. Mm-hmm. And PM2 is incredibly carcinogenic. Mm-hmm. So,
well, we're all getting
cancer.
So
we got to get rid of cars or cows, one of the two.
Well, no, but also, like, cows, the meat industry is so huge here in the United States, particularly in Arizona, that, like their methane is contributing to climate change and to global warming.
No, I'm not that's making, a conspiracy.
I'm not making that up.
I'm just
it's
kidding.
It's not made up. Yeah. I pinky promise that's true.
We should just really cut back at least a little bit.
Yeah. Also, water. Like the lower you eat on the food chain, like the more water you save by like thousands of gallons. Thousands of gallons. So like a cheeseburger that you eat is like as if you were taking a shower for like 3 weeks.
Have you seen the cool infographic on New York Times? Where you can, like, plan your different meals and see how much resources you use for each meal that you have.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on my vegetarian rant. I usually suppress those rants.
She's one of those vegetarians.
I'm usually good about it, but every once in a while I just need to share.
No, it's important. And, yeah, if you wouldn't, I would. So, you know, there we are. This day in history, James Garfield dies via assassination. Actually,
not true.
He was assassinated.
Yes. No, you're correct. Not true. It wasn't assassination. It was botched. His physician sucks.
Yeah. So it was actually an attempted assassination. But the guy didn't he shoot his leg, right? He didn't get any major artery. He wasn't close to anything. It was a bad shot. But James Garfield, unfortunately, had a really bad doctor who was like, this whole thing about washing hands, that's a totally terrible idea.
Oh, my gosh.
And so James Garfield got infected, and he died actually 11 weeks after he was shot. So obviously not the shot.
Yeah. And I can't remember what year that was in. Okay, that's got to be after... Lincoln?
September 19th, 1881, guys.
It's still the 1800s, I believe it.
So okay, the issue is not only did he not wash his hands, but he directly put stuff in the wound that caused the infection. Some people theorize, there's a conspiracy theory that he was trying to kill him. I don't think that that's true, but
It would make for like a good American Horror Story.
Yeah, I guess. So.
Maybe.
The issue really is that we just doctors didn't know what to do. There was that guy who drank cholera, people feces, in order to prove that poor people are the only people who can get cholera. And then he died of cholera.
Oh, that's terrible.
Thereby effectively so disproving his point.
Here's the worst thing about
Darwin Award.
James Garfield's death. No one had done anything to him, he would have survived. Like, he was worse off because of a doctor than he would have been if he just didn't. But, I mean, there was another researcher who ate feces that actually did a great thing because it was I can't remember the condition, but people thought it was disease spread by feces. And it turns out it was malnutrition that was causing this disease. And so he ate feces and proved that it didn't, like, affect him because he wasn't malnourished.
So eating feces may or may not be beneficial, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
50-50
chance.
Kind of
like a hit and miss.
Yeah. So far what we've seen is that it's 50-50. 50% of the time you die of cholera. 50% of the time you're totally fine.
And you end up leading to great causes inside. Never mind that messed up. Whatever, just fine.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, what's the national holiday?
It is National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Arr, matey. We're also a pirate.
Why haven't we been talking like pirates?
We be Captain very
Morgan
excited
be here.
We're also a pirated radio station, guys, if anyone was wondering.
Are so we anymore? I thought he was trying to fix that.
We're fixing that.
Okay.
You mean we're working on it. Arr.
Ugh. It's also could be called Talk Like a Bristolian Day. So, the zero British people who listen to this are laughing.
Yeah, I don't be getting that reference.
All right. So
Bristol is where that accent comes from. Yeah. So, anyway.
So, let's talk a little bit. We have some breaking news. Well, mostly breaking news coming out of New York City. And this is according to the Skim. So over the weekend, a law went down in New York City and around the country. On Saturday, an explosion in New York City injured 29 people. All 29 of them were released from the hospital. The bomb spread shrapnel and glass, and police say it sent shockwaves through the neighborhood. A few blocks from the explosion, police found what looked like another explosive device that actually didn't go off. But also earlier in the day, a pipe bomb device exploded in New Jersey town where a 5K was scheduled to happen. No one was injured. And then last night, they found five potentially explosive devices inside the backpack in Elizabeth, New Jersey. So Elizabeth, New Jersey is like a little town. It's a little neighborhood. One of the incidents in New Jersey and New York City are they're both wait a second, they're related?
We're not sure if they're related yet.
Sorry,
they're investigating.
My phone is not really loading any of this. Thank you.
No one's taken responsibility for any of the bombs. I guess a lot of people are making speculations that it has to do with ISIS and that they're connected, but we don't really know that yet.
And further, if it's been more than 15 minutes and ISIS hasn't claimed it, wow. Because they claim everything within 15 minutes.
Speaking of claiming everything, did you hear what happened in Minnesota?
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
So let's go to international then. My ability to scroll was hindered for a moment. Children's cafeterias are combating poverty and neglect in Japan. Misako Omura's weekly dinner is one of a growing number of Kodomo Shokudo, or children's cafeterias, that are springing up across Japan. The mostly grassroots effort seek to address a range of child-related issues, from poverty to ensuring that those with late working parents get a proper dinner. A tally by the National Asahi newspaper found that 319 such places serving free or low-cost meals across Japan as of May.
So this is just something that people are just doing because out of the goodness of their hearts. It's a mostly grassroots effort, you said, right?
Yes, and it's not I mean, it's not like funded by any church or anything like that. So
that's,
yeah,
that's cool.
Just people doing it.
Yeah.
In other news, the U.S. president and the Iraq minister will strategize about the upcoming offensive take back at Mosul as they meet on the sidelines of the U.N. General Assembly, which is set to take place this week in New York City, which obviously there are some complications with that because of the recent bombings.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Yeah, so there are actually an increased number of police officers by almost 1,000. So,
wow, by 1,000?
Yeah.
That is a lot.
And I believe that's all of our international stories, unless Brad or Josh have any.
Well, what about the refugee migrants?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so we're doing the UN is holding the first ever summit on refugees and migrants. The issue of what to do about the world's 65.3 million displaced people take center stage at the UN General Assembly in New York. And that is taking place presently. So probably bring you more news as to what happened there tomorrow.
We kind of mentioned it before, but a device near New Jersey train station explodes while FBI investigates. So there was a suspicious device, one of five in the same bag, found in a trash can near an Elizabeth train station, and it detonated as a bomb squad was attempting to disarm it with a robot. And the New York Police Department announced today that it is seeking 28-year-old Ahmed Khan Rahami in connection with Saturday's bombing in Manhattan, though the man's role in the incident remains unclear.
All right, and then law enforcement is questioning several people as they try to determine any possible connection between the explosion in New York City and the pipe bomb blast in the New Jersey Jersey Shore town.
In other news, ramifications of the Minnesota mall stabbings. So they're trying to determine if it was an act of terror. It would realize fears of an attack in the immigrant-rich state that has struggled to stop recruiting many of its young men by extremist groups.
So if you didn't catch what happened in Minnesota, there was a stabbing in a mall there. And
which ISIS took credit for.
Yes, they did take credit for. But there was an attacker who stabbed 9 people. All of them are okay. But he was shot by a law enforcement agent and killed at the scene. And so, like, a lot of... he was Somali, or the father of him actually went to the news station and said, hey, I think it was my son who was involved in this attack. And a lot of the people, Somali residents now, are concerned that they'll see a backlash, and they already have. They've had internet comments, they've had people really... saying, oh, this is what happens when you have immigrants come. And so they're really afraid about that.
Okay, I'm taking on bets that was said on Facebook.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, the odds on that are like, I don't know, like 1 to 9. So you wouldn't get any money back even if you won that bet. So last week we discussed how there are fishermen being confined and not really taken care of by U.S. law in Hawaii, and lawmakers have responded to that investigation done by AP, saying that they will help hundreds of foreign workers who have been confined in Hawaii commercial fishing boats for years without basic labor protections. So it looks like they will finally be addressing that.
Does that have anything to do with the with Obama's recent decision to make that an area a protected area?
So that was in the Atlantic, I believe.
Wait, no, it was in Hawaii.
Oh yeah, no, there's two different areas. Yeah, they didn't mention that. What essentially, AP did an investigation last week and found that. A lot of the Hawaiian fishing boats are using undocumented workers and paying them, you know, like,
oh, okay,
like
okay.
19,
so this
20
is a human
wages.
Human rights versus nature rights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Brad. My name is Brad. I didn't know what I was. Hi, I just started reading. So
read anything the teleprompter
Brad,
gives
me. Brad, Brad. It's like, what's that movie? Anchorman?
Yeah.
Or the one with Jim Carrey, where he's mad at an employee, and so he gets back by changing the Evan teleprompter.
Almighty.
Yeah.
I had better, now that I know that I have this power, I need to be very careful with it.
Just start typing things in.
Yes, be very careful. We might be kicked off air if you aren't.
Just you.
It's okay, we're pirated.
Budget deal could free imperiled lawmakers to campaign. Congressional negotiators are working to complete a spending bill to prevent an election season government shutdown and provide money to battle the Zika virus.
And taking a slight 180 here, HBO takes top honors at the Emmys. The fantasy saga Game of Thrones passes Frasier as the most decorated primetime series ever.
Wait a second, Frasier? Frasier was decorated?
Yes.
Is this a joke?
One of the most decorated shows, actually.
That's like the worst. I hate Frasier.
It was nowhere near as good as Frasier.
Game of Thrones?
I have a question, though. Game of Thrones, what's the show? I don't think I've heard of it. It must be a small show that...
It's one of those indie titles that like no one really knows.
Yeah,
about. I watch it, of course. Yeah,
it basically,
right?
Like everyone dies.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
And get it on.
Oh, yeah.
They also
true.
Get it on.
Get it on, then die.
No, but it's
after.
It's the most pirated thing of all time. It's the most watched TV show of all time. Yeah.
Oh, that's
is it like a Marvin Gaye soundtrack? You know, they're always getting it on. So.
No, Brad. Just Josh, keep going.
Okay.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus, whoever that is, wins a record-breaking 6th Emmy as Best Comedy Actress for Veep?
So I've literally never heard of that. That's not a lie.
Okay. Oh, no, that's the show about, like, the vice president or, like, the vice secretary of something or other.
Yeah.
She's, like, the vice something.
So isn't that Elaine from... Right? Oh. Am I thinking the right person?
Is it?
I have no idea.
From
Seinfeld.
What?
What am I thinking?
Okay, we're...
It's Best Comedy Actress, I mean, right?
Oh. Well, while she looks that up, in other news...
Yeah, that is.
Oh,
yeah.
She is? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. In other news... wait a second. We were talking about 7 football players were injured week 2 of the NFL season. I didn't even know NFL was playing. Or the Emmys was this
we're
week
2?
No. Remember,
isn't
you got to...
Is NFL in the spring?
No. You got to know that the NFL...
No, it's in the fall.
It ends...
Don't you make your brackets in the spring?
It ends in February. Also,
no, you do your basketball brackets in the spring.
You're thinking
gosh,
of March
I'm
Madness.
So
also, there's this whole like people, like, you know, not participating in the national anthem.
Oh yeah,
and
oh,
that
geez, yeah.
That's been happening in the news. So I knew that they had to be playing some games, right?
Right. Yeah.
Otherwise,
that's
they were just
true.
Like at practice singing the.
But it has been preseason games. So you're kind of right.
Can I tell you guys a horrible story?
What?
Once upon a time, I was sitting in the Statesman office last night, and they turned off Aggie Radio to turn on football.
That's
like,
a crime right here.
I was like, no, I totally listened
hey,
to that.
You don't turn down Aggie Radio for anything.
I need my indie music fix, guys. Come on.
Turn down for what? Nothing.
Yeah, unless you're just going to play some Radiohead instead.
Especially not football.
Yeah, but kind of going along with that.
Sorry, one second. If you're going to turn it down to play Radiohead, just wait till the next song.
You might not have to. But yeah, with the protests, so there are 3 players from Miami Dolphins. And the police union in that area is a little upset with them. So, like Kaepernick, they've sat down. Their names are Aaron Foster, Kenny Stills, and Michael Thomas. And Broward County Police Union wants police to stop protecting the Miami Dolphins and say that their freedom
of dolphins.
I like my football. and say that their freedom of speech should not be protected. because they are in the national spotlight. They said basically their example is like if a police officer were to sit down during the national anthem or turn their back to the flag during the national anthem, there would be public outcry and people would find it inappropriate. And so, therefore, football players cannot protest.
Yeah.
That's the worst logic.
Yeah. It's essentially like, hey, that would actually get people's attention. I don't want that. No.
Of course, the police officers that are involved in protecting them, they say, oh, no way, we're not going to follow police union because that's our job. Our job is to protect them. It doesn't matter if we agree with them or not. We've been hired by the stadium to escort them in and out of the stadium, so we're not going to breach that contract. But I think it's kind of funny because we need to remember why the national anthem has become a part of sports. Do you guys know why?
I don't watch sports.
Okay. Well, it's been years since that started, but it was because ticket sales were going down. So ticket sales were going down for baseball, and one day they decided to have the national anthem during a game, and people loved it, and it really brought out the crowd. And so it just became a part of sports because the ticket sales shot up. And after a while, it just became, people forgot where it came from. And the only reason we have it is because of capitalism.
America, the world's greatest marketing campaign.
I will also say that while this did definitely take place in someone called Broward County, I'm pretty sure that's, in my heart, it'll always be Broward. Broward, yeah. Woo! Yes. And on that note, terrible
word.
Bro.
You're listening to the Aggie bro word.
Oh, God.
Let's
guys.
Go back to talking like a pirate.
Thank you, Josh.
Okay.
Coming back after this break, we are going to talk to you guys a little bit about the protests that happened in Salt Lake City regarding the Native Americans and... I understand there is more Pokemon news.
Yes, just a little bit.
Gotta catch them all.
There's Pokemon news and I am not on top of it.
Nope.
I guess.
Okay, we'll get to it, I guess. So we're going to take a short musical break, listen to Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys. Ooh. I'm super hyped.
Beastie Boys.
So, all right. See you soon. Thanks for listening. All right, welcome back to the Aggie Morning Word. That was our coffee break, which is probably what we should call it from now on.
I love that. You have to like juice up on coffee.
Yeah.
Guys, speaking of coffee.
Right. We have our first sponsored message. I don't know if we've ever had a sponsored message on Aggie Radio.
Well, I mean, we have, but like, not like this.
Okay.
We have big news, guys.
So this is an inline ad.
Aggie Radio, the Aggie Morning Word podcast, is now sponsored by Cafe Ibis. We love Cafe Ibis so much here in the studio. They have been fueling our shows since like May. And so we finally partnered with them, and now we can actually talk about how awesome Cafe Ibis is. And I love Cafe Ibis.
Yeah, there's a reason why we're in a really good mood today. Because we are sponsored by Cafe Ibis, and we're feeling great.
We're feeling good, guys. This morning cup of Joe is just...
Yeah, these really guys good. Are like award-winning coffee.
Yeah.
They're some of the best coffee in the United States. Like, I lived up in Portland, the Portland area, for a couple months, and I have to say, I didn't like any of the coffee up there nearly as much as I like the coffee here, and I missed it. And my aunt also lives up there, and the first thing she did when she visited home was visit Cafe Ibis. So it's, like, amazing. And you gotta go to the Cafe Ibis on Federal Avenue, because the ones up here just aren't as good.
Oh, yeah.
That's true, because, like, they don't clean out their pots as well. And so, like, you can taste the flavor from the day before.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So Fetter Avenue Cafe Ibis is where it's at, guys.
I think it's a crime against humanity if you go to any place besides Cafe Ibis to get your coffee in the morning. If you go to a national chain that is started in Seattle, you know, that one place.
That one place with that one. What is she's a muse, right? Or is she?
I don't know.
She's a siren.
She's a siren.
I'll tell you what, she's trying to seduce you to have terrible coffee that you can only be covered up with lots and lots of sugar.
She's simply bold. We'll put it that way. Which is actually the McCafe line. Simply bold. But I've had McCafe coffee and it's simply water. That other... The chain that shall not be named is simply bold.
Rhymes with far sucks.
Yeah, yeah. But I have to say, Cafe Ibis is really like it's a state treasure, a national treasure.
So I hear in local news something's going on with a dog and a turkey.
Oh yeah.
So yesterday, a man may or may not have been me was walking around, and was walking up some stairs. And saw
a
turkey.
Say no trespassing now.
Don't mention that part of the story. I guess it definitely was not me. And I saw a turkey. I mean, yeah, I saw a turkey. Just like, and my dog was barking. And then suddenly, like, she was gone. Well, I had her on a leash. But I looked over to the left. And there was a turkey being attacked by my dog. And I was like, no, don't kill it. Pulled on the leash. But gratefully, the turkey got itself together and just, like, dashed away. And, like, there was just a bunch of feathers on the ground. And here's the thing. I got up the stairs, and the turkeys were, like, at a not so safe. They were on at a safe distance, so long as the dog was on a leash, but she totally could have dashed towards them if I had let go, and they were just standing and staring. It's like, you don't stare when you've been attacked by a dog, just run! Run like the wind!
So if you see some feathers and a no trespassing sign kind of near each other, you now know the story behind that.
I walked past it this morning, and I was like, wow! My dog is awesome.
Except she didn't. She didn't accomplish the job. Gratefully,
yeah. Well, no. We need to let her cook for one more month. Yeah. Another month and a half.
Not a month and a half. Yeah, what are you talking about? 2 weeks.
You know, for Thanksgiving, right? Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's on the 10th of October.
If my dog caught a turkey, I would like give up vegetarianism and eat.
Well, wait a minute. Don't you know? I think we're supposed to mention that if you do, aren't you supposed to contact like the wild? Some sort of organization,
yeah,
like animal control.
Like one time my friend accidentally ran into a deer because she was like, it was icy, and she killed the deer, and the deer destroyed her windshield, but she had to pay a $300 fine to the state.
Yeah. Well, it's just so like people aren't like, oops, I accidentally hit the deer. Don't. I mean, there might be a bullet hole or two, but I hit it.
Well, it's like that part from that movie Open Season. I don't know if you guys remember that movie where the guy's like driving on the road. He just veers off and hits a deer. He's like, it jumped in the road.
I'm sorry, Bambi. Your mother just jumped in the road.
See, all you have to do is say sorry the way that you do. And ta-da, you've done it. You've said sorry like a southerner. Done. Easy. Hole in one every time. All right, we're ready to go to state news.
Yeah, we got some Utah policy news. We're just going to run off some bullet points really quick. Governor Gary Herbert still has a massive 38-point lead over Democrat Mike Weinholz, according to our latest poll.
Darn.
Man.
The situation surrounding an we already talked about that. The, man dressed as a security... we talked about that, too.
Nice.
More than last, like, right during the break. And she's like, don't read these ones. And I should just keep going.
Here we are reading them.
Apparently, Governor Gary Herbert and Mike Weinholz faced off in their first debate on Friday. Herbert won the contest, but not before he made a huge unforced error that Weinholz did not take advantage of.
Which was?
I don't know.
Oh.
Let's find out. Of Utah policy.
Just...
Utah policy. Look it up yourself. Gosh, Morgan. Okay. I don't know everything. Utah actually just lost a proposed Facebook data center to New Mexico. Gosh, so it was New Mexicans. Democrat. I said New Mexicans. Don't get confused.
Barely. He's like, New Mexicans. Josh.
I got caught in my throat for a minute. Democrat on Democrat violence. Okay. Do you want to read these? Senate nominee Misty Snow blasts 4th District House nominee Doug Owens for not standing up for the working class.
Heck yeah. Go Misty.
A judge has denied former Attorney General John Swallow's request for a do-over for a preliminary hearing in his public corruption trial. And finally, St. George Republicans officially select Republican Don Ipson to replace Senator Steve Urquhart, sure,
yeah,
in the Utah legislature.
Cool.
Ipson was already running to fill Urquhart's seat after Urquhart announced his retirement earlier this year.
Well, Urquhart announced his retirement after running into the LDS Church several times during the last couple years during his legislative session. Oh, it's very interesting.
See, like, I've never like looked at politics before I joined the show, so I was
He is. That's okay. Is that everything?
Yeah, Walt Brooks was selected to fill Ipson's seat.
Ah, okay, cool, awesome. Thank you so much for that Utah policy.
Thank you.
Jumping into more local news, I went and covered Aggies for Standing Rock. So what happened was, like, 45 Aggies went to the Utah State Capitol, where there were, like, probably 500 people there, protesters at the state capitol, mostly made up of Native Americans, but also made up of everybody else. And they were there to support those at Standing Rock. And Standing Rock is the Native American reservation in North Dakota. And so they were there because they were protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline. Now, the Dakota Access Pipeline is a pipeline that is going to be put in. It's an oil pipeline that will be put in this Native American territory that some are concerned will destroy and affect the water. But also, they're also concerned, these protesters, they're concerned that some of this the Dakota Access Pipeline will go through sacred Sui territory. Is that, did I say that right?
Sioux
territory. I knew I said that wrong.
So the way that it works Sioux with French is you just drop the last Sioux syllable.
And wait, but it's not French. It's they're Native Americans.
Yeah, but that's they were stupid. Named by the French.
Bad. Stop it, French. Okay. Bad.
Well,
people.
Isn't the other problem, the biggest problem, though, is that it threatens their water supply.
That's what
their
I was saying.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Thanks. Hi. Yeah.
If you let her finish.
Welcome. Nice to see you. Brad's just joined the show. Yes, that's true. And that's true for a lot of oil pipelines. Like, down in the Four Corners area, oil, like, because water, you need a lot of water to frack. So we have fracking going on in southern Utah. And so it takes, like, enormous amounts of water to frack. And so in the Four Corners area, a lot of these Navajo people are without water, or they're with less water because of the fracking, which is terrible. This is terrible. This is like,
why are you fracking in a place that's so fraught with fault lines and
that's true.
Problems.
That's like, super true. Because fracking goes deeper. Like, you drill deeper than you do normally. But it was really cool to see the Aggie community come together. Like I said, 45 people, a lot of whom were not Native Americans. But also, guys, guess what? Our friend Kason Hudman raised, like, a whole bunch of supplies, camping supplies, because those at Standing Rock, they're going to buckle down and they're going to keep protesting over the winter. And so they need a whole bunch of camping supplies to support them. And so I think that they're still looking for donations. So it was a good, beautiful moment for democracy.
Yeah.
And how can we help, like, support the campaign?
You can go check out their Facebook page, Aggies for Standing Rock.
Aggies for Standing Rock, okay.
Then that's for you, Josh. In other news, we have a lot of cool things going on this week, including Disney's Little Mermaid will be tonight at the Ellen Eccles Theater. There will be a movie Monday, which is tonight, their North Logan City Library. That'll be The Jungle Book. Also, I'm really excited about this one. On Wednesday night at the Cache Valley Community Writing Center at 5 p.m., they'll have a workshop on how to format poetry.
Ooh.
And my friend Millie, she's a really cool writer and poet here in Logan. She will go and help you guys learn how to do that. And there's also Logan Rock Climbing, which will happen at the Aggie Recreation Center, and that's at 1 p.m. on Wednesday. Thursday, there's a free speech ball. That's at the TSC patio at 12 p.m. They'll tell you how to free speech. And there's testing like a pro, which will happen at the Academic Success Center, which is free. And it's at 12 p.m. And, guys, Charlie Puth is happening this weekend. Woo-hoo! Finally, for reals this time.
Unless he gets sick again.
Unless he gets sick again.
It is that time of year. Yeah, also, all journalism majors should go to the Little Mermaid one. Because because you can really feel the I want to be where the people are.
I want to see.
I want to see them.
That,
yeah.
That's the mindset you need to have as a journalist.
Right, well, are we ready to go to Quirky, or do we have...
I do have one more thing that actually happened on campus that's actually really cool. One of our own research professors, Justin Julander, says he has discovered a vaccination to end the spread of the Zika virus. Julander, or as my phone auto-corrected him to be, Highlander, will submit the papers with his findings by the end of the week. The vaccinations have only been tested on mice so far. I need to receive a clinical trial before they can be distributed to those infected or at risk. In the meantime, Julander suggests that if you do go to areas where Zika is found, just make sure you wear mosquito repellent, and don't be afraid, just take the proper steps to keep yourself safe and just do your research.
Nice.
Wow. So, Quirky now. Quirky. Right? We have
Didn't we have something about science, though?
I think we do. I don't know. Okay. Yes. So, doctors are, again, doubling down on their advising against codeine for kids.
What is codeine?
It's a pain medication. It was really popular in the 60s. It was one of the like mother's little helper drugs. It causes death and breathing problems in children, and some people are still prescribing it, and so there's some issues. The issue is, like, there's a hold on basically all painkillers for children, because, like, there's no safe ones.
Oh, yeah.
And so this one wasn't as thoroughly banned, and so some people were actually, not pediatricians, but, like, older, like, doctors who, you know, like, family doctors were prescribing this.
Well, have you guys seen those vintage ads for, like, for cocaine, toothache, drops,
opioids
for children? Yeah, they had all these advertisements. You can find them online. Vintage advertisements of, like, different drugs that were used to treat pain and other things for children that now are, like, not so legal, like cocaine,
they look
marijuana.
So happy.
Yeah, the children look so happy.
Yeah.
Everything's fine, right?
The coolest of those was laudanum, though Hadacol was pretty good. Hadacol was it was straight up just like vodka, and it was marketed specifically to children. They would give free bottles to children and tell them to tell their friends to come buy some Hadacol.
What? This sounds like what something an old shady old man would do near a playground, a school playground.
Well, surprise, surprise.
Hey, I have a puppy.
Here, guys, some vodka.
Tell your friends.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise, that's exactly what it was. Yeah, but in Quirky News, I found a video on the interwebs of a guy fighting off a great white shark with his spear gun.
What?
Like, so he got ambushed by
a
shark.
Real life Jaws.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
He had to fight it off with his spear gun. It was terrifying.
Was there a good tuba solo in the background?
Do, 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 do.
The tuba did not play that. No, that was a cello or something.
No, that was
a
tuba.
String instrument.
That is the most famous tuba player. Yeah, and yeah, I totally heard it on the news a while ago when he passed away, but yeah.
The tuba player?
Oh, yeah, no, I guess I can hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's weird. I never would have said that was a tuba.
So there was, in other science news, there were two climate researchers, Dan Volokin and Lark Reles, that were attempting to publish some research that had, it's not really evidence against human-caused global warming, but it would question deeply held beliefs about that. They had created a mathematical climate model that was only factoring electromagnetic radiation and radiation from the sun, and it was supposed to have explained most of the climate change in the on the planet. But as it turns out, they were fake names. But it was the researchers' names backwards, and
so they were purposely just trying to disprove like global warming and the human connection to it.
No, actually, they aren't against that necessarily. They said they're not against human change climate, or human changed global warming. They don't think it's necessarily a fraud, but they just had some research that they thought was interesting and valid, and they changed their names because they had tried to publish something in the past, and it hadn't gone well for them. Oh. And so they did that because they didn't want people to associate them with the research. So, but then of course people found out and they kind of got in a little trouble.
Just a little bit, huh?
Yeah. So, yeah, don't fake your name.
Alrighty, well, in some entertainment news, does anyone here play Pokemon Go?
Not anymore. No one in the world plays Pokemon Go anymore.
Yeah, I'm done playing it now. I already did enough.
I was so
catch 10 Pokemon.
I was so cool that I never played it.
But, oh, what? Wait, let's look at your phone. What's that on your phone? Pokemon Go?
I was letting other people play it, Brad.
It's a Bulbasaur. All right, well, it looks like at long last, Nintendo has finally launched a wearable device for the game, calling it the Pokemon Go Plus, and they've been hyping this since their appearances at gaming conferences like E3 and PAX. This device will pair with your phone to enhance your experience of the AR game and hopefully make it more fun to play.
In other words, help you cheat.
Yeah.
Potato, potato. The $35 accessory is essentially a Bluetooth-enabled device that you can attach to like a belt or your pocket or a strap, or it also comes with this nifty like little bracelet type thing, which it looks like something you'd make in Boy Scouts, but I digress. Once you pair it with your phone, you'll be able to play the game without having to keep your screen on at all times.
Basically, save your battery just a little bit, because I'm sure it's going to be
demanding. You're still using your GPS. You're still connecting to Wi-Fi. And
yeah, still.
But yeah, essentially you can use the battery saving mode for real instead of for imaginary.
And the device will vibrate to let you know whenever you're near a Pokestop or a Pokemon, and it will light up in different colors to indicate whether it's either of these. You can press the wearables button to collect items from either the Pokestop, or you can use it to try and catch a Pokemon. And it's also rumored that it will be able to track your steps so you can go hatch eggs or use its new buddy feature so you can walk with your little Pokemon next to you.
Yeah. And in much more important Pokemon news, Pokemon Generations released.
Oh, I saw that. That looks like... It's kind of weird, but I like it.
Yeah, so it's a what bunch of... it's a series made by the Pokemon Company that's just like 3 to 5 minute shorts. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Kind of like showcasing all of the different Pokemon generations and blah blah blah. It's
so
pretty cool.
It's all the cool Pokemon battles from the past.
Well, it actually kind of shows you like how people like use Pokemon like in everyday situations. Like there's one where it's like the police are trying to break into the Team Rocket gym from the first game, and it shows how these Pokemon are used in like a police what would you call it?
Yeah.
A raid, a police raid.
It's based on the games instead of the stupid anime.
Okay, I was going to say, does it cut out all of the annoying Team Rocket scenes from the TV show?
Hey.
It's not the TV show.
Hey, look, prepare for trouble, okay? If you're going to make fun of Team Rocket.
And make it double.
I make it double. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
I got you.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you guys use olive oil for?
Cooking.
It's really good for cooking.
Dipping bread in.
Dipping bread.
I don't know if I'd actually cook with it. Yeah.
I use
slip and slides on the floor.
Being straight up, I don't think that I would actually heat up olive oil. I feel like that's a bad idea.
I put olive oil in my hair to make it look nice and shiny.
Okay.
But
very Greek of you.
I knew someone who would have a spoon of olive oil every day
because
it was supposed to help her lose weight.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I have an uncle who just like chugs it. It's disgusting.
I don't taste
but
like
he's beautiful.
Let me get a shot of olive oil. He just pours it into a shot glass and.
But he's like a 10, so it probably works.
Oh yeah, definitely works.
Anyway, so what happened over the weekend was a man was stuck headfirst between two rocks and Rhode Island jetty while trying to retrieve his cell phone, has been rescued with the help of olive oil.
Oh, my God.
So he was fishing in Rhode Island, and authorities say the man dropped his phone and got stuck up to his chest when he bent down to retrieve it.
I think Team Rocket was behind this.
So the police spend most of the afternoon trying to free him before the tide came in. For about 2 hours, they were able to remove him with the help of olive oil. The man went to the
Jimmy, get the olive oil. We need some.
The man went to the hospital to be treated for hypothermia and a small injury to his foot.
I'm glad that's all he got.
Oh, man.
Well, that's quite the story. Be like, so how did you get injured? Well, let me tell you a story. I dropped my phone.
And the tide came in.
At least it wasn't Pokemon Go.
Did he save the phone?
It doesn't say.
No. This is the most important part of the story. Was
his new iPhone okay? Was it all for
Was it an iPhone 7? Because maybe.
Or the one that explodes, the new Samsung.
Samsung?
No, because
then you should just leave it.
It'll actually help fix the phone. You take it out and it works good as new.
All right. I think on that note, it's time for us to end our show.
Aw, so soon.
I know, but it's like almost 9. So, thank you for listening to the Aggie Morning Word podcast this morning. Join us tomorrow for...
And every day of the week.
Well, weekday, every weekday, yeah. We don't do it Saturday or Sunday, 8 to 9. So, anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Catherine St. Clair.
I'm Morgan Pratt.
I'm Brad Robinson.
And I'm Joshua Corey.
Peace out.
Tell your friends.
Peace out. Arr.